What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Humble Hour. On tonight's episode, I sit down with my roommates, David Vasquez, Akshay Gupta, and Eric Arteaga. And we talk about bad habits we've had in the past, our impulsive decisions, and what we value. But before we dive in, I just wanted to give you guys an idea of who the characters are in this podcast. To give you a quick and short introduction, first off, we have David Vasquez. He's one of my roommates that I live with here in San Diego, like I just mentioned. He's 22 years old, works at Jamba Juice, and he aspires to be a film director someday. He writes poetry, sings, and loves listening to punk rock music. Akshay Gupta, I've known him for about 2 years. He's 22 years old, a UCSD graduate with a degree in math and computer science. He's an international student from India, and he loves playing video games. Eric is another one of my roommates. He is also a UCSD graduate with a degree in communications and a minor in entrepreneurship and innovation. He currently works at FedEx offices and does graphic design work on the side. My name is Michael Diester, and I'm currently a UCSD student. I study business psychology, and I'm a creative. I love writing music, vlogging, podcasting, and building brands. My ambition in life is to become a thought leader and speak on stage so that I may inspire others in the areas of personal development and business. Now that you know a little bit about us, let's get started. Everyone has bad habits. Right now, we're taking the time to talk about our bad habits, things we've kicked out of our lives, things we're still going through, so let's get started.
Bad habit I've kicked. Smoking cigarettes. So just a small story about it. In my freshman year, I was living with two chill guys. They had a bad habit, and that was smoking cigarettes. And I didn't smoke cigarettes at all. I didn't like that shit at all. But they kept on doing it for a month, 2 months, and I kept saw them, and you know, they kept on asking me, AK, one puff. I'm like, no, I'm good. And after, you know, 2 months or, you know, 3 months, I'm like, you know what, let me just try one puff. And then that one puff changed to two puffs, to three puffs, mm-hmm. You know, agreeing with every other going day. And after, you know, a few weeks, I was smoking one cigarette a day, and then it got to two cigarettes a day, and then it got to five cigarettes a day. And from that point on, I kind of developed a dependency on cigarettes. So if you don't know about cigarettes, it's that if you smoke cigarettes in the morning, and if you grow a habit of smoking cigarettes in the morning, you can't go and take a poop without smoking cigarettes. It's that bad. Because it does something in your stomach, the gas or something, and it makes you poop. So Your body grows a dependence on that. And so that started happening. And first of all, like the first hit you take of the smoke every day gives you such a good high that you just want to lie there and like just see the world, kind of, you know. It's like you have tremors up your body, and it's like a different feeling. And yeah, so I kind of went towards like smoking 5 to 10 a day.
How'd you overcome that? Because you don't smoke today.
Yeah, I don't smoke today. So the thing with me was smoking was not associated with any particular trigger such as stress or, you know, an argument. A lot of people you might see have, you know, triggers like if they're stressed, they're going to smoke. If they are, you know, just in the morning or a certain location or something. I believe the trigger for me was just the social habit of being around my roommates and just having a good time. And they were my bros, so, you know. One of the quarters I had really bad GPA, I don't want to say it over here, but just very bad that I got on probation.
Oh, man.
And all of us got on probation. And the next quarter, I, you know, started studying alone and, you know, tried to make sure that I get out of the probation, get more than 2.0. Both of them kind of got kicked out. And they were the ones who always bought the cigarettes, and they had like a huge pack. And after they got kicked out, I just started running through that pack and smoking cigarettes. But I never bought, so here's the thing, I never bought cigarettes on my own, never. Maybe because I could never afford them because they were expensive. And those two guys were like my sugar daddies, if I want to say. I don't know, it was meant to be, I believe, because whenever I tried to go buy cigarettes, maybe I forgot my ID, or maybe I just reached the store maybe 1 minute after it got closed, so you know, they shut down the window. I'm like, bro, let me just get one. Come on, I'll pay you $10 extra. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, sir, we can't. So it happened with me a few times, and I took it as a sign from God that, you know, it's just a symbol that I'm not meant to be. So I stopped you know, I could not find any cigarettes, so I tried, you know, asking friends or some people that I knew and tried to get as much as I could. But after a while, I ran out, and it was hard for a few weeks. I could not go to sleep without smoking, and it was like I was just getting agitated for some no reason. I was like, you know, losing my temper and all that stuff. But after a while, it kind of got over, you know, because I had no option, and I kind of saw it as a really bad thing. And I've seen a lot of people in my family kind of ruining their life just because of cigarette smoking. I just imagined, visualized that, and it was so disgusting that I wanted to kick it out. So, yeah, that's pretty much how I got over it.
Oh, it's good that you kicked that habit. Me personally, my bad habit was with marijuana. I would go to class high, thinking it's fun, thinking I could, you know, do all my work for college. And, like, it's crazy how in denial I was. I have friends who still smoke a lot, and I see what I saw in myself and them, how they're so confident that they could be functional marijuana smokers, when really I was at that point. And look, you can't, like, you could do mundane activities, but if you want to learn something and have it stick inside of you, you can't do that while you're high, you know. And then, you know, they say an addiction is when you can't perform like daily functional tasks or keep up with the relationships. When you're high most of the time, your relationships really start to deteriorate. Like, if you think about the commercial where the girl's flat on the couch, you know, it's like, this is Sally. Like, she doesn't really talk anymore. You know, some that kind of stuff. It's real stuff. Not a lot comes out of you. You're kind of just in your own world. Like, you're not a part, like, you're not yourself anymore. And so it's a scary feeling. Like, everyone, when they talk about marijuana, everyone right now talks about how good it is that it's legal, how you can smoke, you know, like, finally, if you're over 21, you can go buy some weed or some stuff like that. But it doesn't really help you at all. I've tried it. I've been there. It doesn't... You can't progress as a human. It's just... It gives you anxiety, paranoia.
I guess it depends on the use too, right? Like, why you use it.
If you're someone who does it occasionally at a party or with friends and stuff, like that's not going to ruin your life.
But right.
When... And this is, like, the day that it changed for me, when I started, like, owning marijuana. When I started owning, like, pipes and stuff like that. So it was just the ease of access.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started seeing that I was over-consuming and that it was really affecting my life.
Right.
But before I got to that realization, I was in denial.
Because we all have our limits, so, I mean, we all kind of know what's a lot for one could be, you know, not as much for another type of thing.
Right, right.
To the point where you're functioning.
That's a great point. Like, how much marijuana you consume varies from person to person.
Right.
I always consider myself a lightweight, and I just... You know, I can only do mundane things while I'm high, and that's just, I want something more for myself, so it's kind of easier for me to say no to marijuana when I have my list of to-dos for the day,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, think about my purpose and my values, which we'll get to, but that's my
story. How do you, like, how do you deal with it now?
I see it as something that just slows me down, and I'm not looking forward to it. Like, I mean, the thing I think about is, if I wasn't high for, like, you know, all the days that I was, I probably would be better at guitar, because I would have a better concentration while I was, like, playing and learning music. Probably know more songs. And that frustrates me. Because it's like, come on, like... Because, like, it's like starting over from scratch.
Those times that you feel like you wasted almost.
There are people who love consuming marijuana, and that's great. Like, for me, there was a time and place, and, like, I'm just kind of exiting that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Turning into more of an occasional smoker, and it's like, I have nothing against it. Being high is great, but I just don't want that. I want other things right now.
In terms of something that I've kind of kicked off, I used to, like, want to put others a lot before myself, you know, in hoping that those other people would give to myself.
Were you a people pleaser?
Yeah, essentially. That was, like, a really bad habit of mine, being a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Because in hopes that those people would give to me so that I can gain gratification and acceptance
validation.
And validation from other people, when now I've kind of learned how to give more to myself and give myself validation, give myself self-gratification.
That's good.
I'm really taking time to just prioritize myself rather than other people. I think that was a really bad habit in my life I was going through, because ever since, like, I had started, like, putting other people before myself, like, you know, I noticed I'd get sick. Or I wouldn't be able to get to all the things I needed to do. I feel like I would feel bad as if, you know, if I didn't do this for other people, and if I And if I kept doing that, then like that's never ending. If you keep saying yes, like the work that you're gonna be doing is never gonna stop, because if you say yes to one person, then they say yes to everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I think being a people pleaser is definitely a habit that I had struggled with for like a very long time, because I had to struggle with it when I wasn't like in church. You know, I had to, you know, fit into this facade of being the good church boy that everyone expected me to be, because my mom had held me with so much praise, and it sucked. There was a lot of pressure, like, and I think it just internally like grew into me, like, okay, be people, because it's good for you, it's gonna benefit you in the long run, all this. And like started to notice, like I started feeling like living a very miserable life because of it, because I wouldn't live life in like my terms. I had to live life in other people's terms. And now I'm like, I'm definitely putting myself first. Like, I remember back, if you would know, like, go back on my Instagram, like, freshman year, sophomore year, I think freshman year, I would literally post a picture every fucking day so I can, like, receive instant gratification from people. Wow. And, like, feel as if, like, I'm worthy of, like, people's acceptance and love and, like, attention and all this other shit. And, like, now, like, I just don't care. Like, I'm, like, I don't need it. Like, I'm... I post whenever I want, and like, I've really come a long way from that, because I used to crave it so much. I used to need it. I used to feed off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're feeding off of it, you automatically give other people the power of like how you feel about yourself, how you love yourself, how you view yourself.
Definitely.
You know, and I wanted to definitely give myself the power of how I feel about myself.
For me, guys, like, the struggle was getting out of bed and looking at Instagram and just laying there for like an hour, 2 hours, scrolling, dude. Just scrolling. I think back at it now, and it's almost like disgusting. Like, it's almost cancerous, like, to think about it, because it's like, I'd wake up and just waste 2 hours. And I wasn't waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning either. I was waking up at 10. Mind you, I was single. I had a girlfriend at the time. She's not my girlfriend anymore, but it's like, she'd be up at 8 o'clock in the morning, doing her thing, doing her blog, whatever. She would do everything she could. Like, hey, dude, you know, get up, you know, let's go for a walk, let's do something like that. I'd be like, nah, you know, I'm just chilling. Had a long day yesterday, had work and school, whatever. Just some bullshit excuses. And like, life kind of just went by. Life just kind of passed me by. I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. I was just on this hamster wheel that I was cool with riding on. It would kill time. And sometimes you would catch that thing that would make you chuckle. Or you'd see something that caught your interest.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just basically fishing.
Yes.
For an hour. Just,
yeah.
Fishing. Shit, oh, that's kind of cool. That's a cool motivation. Cool. Oh, you know, this reminds me of so-and-so. Let me send this to them. Oh, this dude, we were just talking about this the other day. Let me send this to Michael. We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
And then I realized, shit, it's time to get ready to go to work again. And boom, nothing got done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think back to that, and dude, now I feel so glad to like not be that person anymore. Now, you know, I get up, maybe I'll do a little graphic design. Maybe we might go on a run before work, like we've been doing every now and then. You know, but now, you know, time just gets used a little bit better now. Now I delete Instagram for a week or whatever, or a couple days at a time, just to get away from it, because I want to focus on other things. You know, when I first met you, I remember you telling me, like, hey, dude, like, I know you don't use, or I know you use social media. Why don't you try just turning off the color on your phone?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It did help.
Mm-hmm.
It did help for, like, a week.
Yeah.
Which, if any of you listeners don't know, you can take the color off of your iPhone, and scientifically, correct me if I'm wrong, like, it's supposed to help with keeping you from getting distracted.
Yeah.
By all the colors and the brightness, because that's how they're meant to be appealing to the eye, right?
Self-discipline / delayed gratification. Ultimately, I mean, we all make compulsive decisions in our life based on our moods. We all act on our emotions, and now we're going to spend some time talking about times we've done that.
As someone who's like, struggles with bipolar disorder, it's definitely one of the symptoms, is impulsivity. I've learned to really like be very conscientious of, you know, how I'm feeling and the decisions I'm making because of how I'm feeling. And so, for instance, I guess to provide a very extreme example, last year in 2017, I leased a 2017 Honda Civic using like the rest of my financial aid money, refund money that I had. And I made that based on like saying that I really needed a car, because I really needed it to go on this date, and like it was just a situation I had was not prepared for, and it was a decision that was made based on how I was feeling in that very moment and not thinking about the consequences in the long run or afterward. And so I think lately I've been thinking about, okay, would I make this decision if I was feeling a different way? Is this decision going to benefit me in any way afterward? And that also falls into like making decisions when I'm sad. Like, I think I definitely fall victim to it when I'm like, when I'm not feeling too well, I'll definitely like give in to like not being as active as I would be if I was happy, and just kind of pushing through like the sadness. I often kind of just like lean back on the sadness and like say, I'm like, okay, no, I'm gonna be this way right now. I'm gonna make this decision because I'm sad, and like, and there's no way for me to change it. And considering that, like, I've just been more conscientious of like, okay, am I gonna make the decision based on how I'm feeling, or make the decision based on a more rational, you know, form of thinking? Like, I think with a more rational mind has been more beneficial for me, like, if that makes sense. When I'm, you know, making decisions under like emotions, it's like, it's that's very flawed. It's like it fluctuates. It's not very consistent. So when making decisions under like rational thinking, I see like myself reaping the benefits.
It's really just like seeing yourself from a third party perspective.
Yeah, third person point of view.
And then also knowing, hey, look, I know this is how I am, and I know this is what's gonna come out of it.
Because
mm-hmm. you just recognize those patterns in your life.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like you know better type of thing, but yeah. You go with it anyway.
I say, for instance, when I'm feeling very confident and hyped up, I'll want to talk to like girls and stuff and flirt with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I stop myself. I'm like, wait, no, it's like, I'm not like willing to invest my time and money to try to like keep a girl's attention, and like, cause to keep somebody around and like have them around and go on a date, like it takes your time, it takes your attention, it takes your energy.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and I stop myself immediately. I'm like, you know what? No, like,
this is not what I want.
I was like, I'm maybe feeling this way right now, but if I look like to the future, like if I actually follow through with this, like I'm gonna regret it. I'm not gonna like it. I'm not gonna like being in that position. And I know I'm only doing this right now because I'm feeling confident and happy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I should stop myself and immediately think about the consequences of what I'm about to do.
Going into something that you think is good, but it's not really what you want or need at the time. Self awareness is very important at that point.
Right.
Ultimately, it takes experience. Like, nobody knows this right off the bat. Even if you learn it in a book, that stuff doesn't stay. You gotta look at the patterns. You gotta look at yourself from a third party perspective.
Yeah. I think it's a self-awareness and like being able to acknowledge those primal instincts. Mm-hmm. Actually, here's a mate.
Yeah.
And you know, we're hitting it off pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be one thing, could be another, whatever, but I mean, at the end of the day, if it's not really what you're looking for, you know, maybe you should back off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think like when I think of my it's funny because mine are related to technology too. Like those delayed gratifications in college, like my last year at UCSC, halfway through the second year they built that Amazon store on campus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here I am, I'm Mr. fucking, you know, I got a couple credit cards, I work a pretty decent job, don't got that many bills. Shit, dude, I can have a $80 Levi's jacket delivered at school today by noon. Fuck, let me just fucking order it. Let me just fucking order. You know what? Throw in a pomade, too. I'm running low on pomade. Shit, you know what? They got my dandruff shampoo, 2-for-1. Throw that in there, too. Dude, all I'm spending $150, I'll go to fucking the Amazon locker and pick up this big-ass box with all this shit that I just bought. And it would happen a few times a month. Once, twice a week. And like, and just charge it. To the point where it's like, fuck me. You know, now, you know, I ran out of my credit cards. Now they're maxed out. Now I'm only fucking 20 years old. Not even 21 yet. Fuck, you know? So I remember thinking like, and just playing it off. Fuck, I'll just make the minimum payment. Fuck it. Just make the minimum payment. Who gives a fuck?
There.
Fuck it. You know what? I just made the minimum payment. I got a little extra money. Let me take my girlfriend out. Let's go eat. I didn't tell her any of this shit. She knew that I worked a decent job. I didn't tell any of my friends any of this. They're like, oh yeah, Eric just works. Eric doesn't have a car payment at the time. Who cares? Eric just works. That's why he has all this shit. Fuck no, dude. I was charging that shit. That was fucking... At the time, I realized... Well, at the time, I didn't realize it. But at the time now, I look back and realize that I was just filling this void. Like, I didn't... Like, I... For me, I almost grew, like... I guess, for lack of a better word, addicted to that dopamine rush from buying something.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, dude. I just got this fresh-ass fucking Levi's jacket. Shit, I just bought, you know, a brand new pair of goggles to go swimming once a year, you know, whenever I get motivated. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was just the convenience.
Yeah.
Dude, log on to the Amazon app, fucking order that shit. It'll be there today by 2 o'clock.
Wow.
So easy. But anyway, but now, you know, I pay the consequences. When I moved down here in fucking in June, end of June, early July, you know, now I gotta pay rent. Now all that other money I was putting into paying off my debt, now I gotta start door dashing. So I started door dashing like crazy. You guys, you know, remember that shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now everything is clean, smooth sailing. I don't gotta worry about none of that, like mm-hmm. extra bills or whatever, debts. But yeah, that was at the time. And I never told anybody about it. Because I was, to me, it's like, yeah, psh, I'll worry about it later.
Yeah.
I'll worry about that shit later.
Yeah. In my experience, I kind of did the same thing. My credit cards slowly went up to eventually both being maxed out. And I wasn't working a lot. I had to start door dashing a lot.
Yeah.
There went my free time. And it's like, as I was door dashing, I never door dash as much as you, by the way, David. But as I was door dashing, it was like, I mean, it was fun at first. It's a cool gig, right? But after a while, when it becomes like,
oh,
something
yeah.
that you think you, like you have to do,
that's the worst.
It's like,
yeah,
man, like why did I mess up so bad earlier? Why couldn't I just save the money? And here's the other thing: I was in a relationship, so it's like, it's very easy to turn your money and point it the other way when, like, it's a person that you want to
yeah.
like, care for and impress,
totally
and do a lot of cool things with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, that's one of the reasons why I don't want to be in a relationship right now. That kind of commitment, it's also a financial commitment. As soon as I made a bad decision financially, immediately I would try to justify it. And then just to kind of put a band-aid over that.
Totally.
Until you try to put like 10, 15, 20 band-aids. I mean, the world is too big before you even realize you don't have enough band-aids. You, like,
just gushing blood everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
gushing
blood.
Nothing could, like, you gotta go to the hospital at that point, you know? Like, band-aids are not gonna cut it. And that's, you know, the reality check that you get from experience. Now, I would never say I regret anything. I'm thankful for even going through that dip in my life because it's
totally.
Taught me a good amount about, you know, where I want to spend my money now.
Lesson learned, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Totally, man.
That's just something I believe you always get from making impulsive decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think overall just having power. I think about having a credit card, it's like
mm-hmm.
that sense of power. You have money.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and if you bring it back to, like, you know, that famous quote from Spider-Man from Uncle Ben, it's like, with great power comes great responsibility. It's like, I think through the course of like living here, it's like I've learned how to just be more responsible so I can like carry much more power. But overall, I've kind of sacrificed a lot of the power that I used to have just so I could learn how to be more responsible.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think, yeah, man, like money's a big responsibility. Like, you have to really know how to be responsible so you know how to keep yourself accountable with how much you spend and how much you already have, and like, you know, be humble with what you have and like use what you have rather than continuing to want more, because if you want more, that takes a lot of responsibility. If you want more, you have to be responsible enough to, like, you know, use what you have wisely. And I feel like for people who are given like credit cards and like who are given a lot, like are given power that they're not yet ready for.
Right, okay.
You know, to have. With you having your credit cards, like, you had all that power, but you weren't responsible yet, right? Like, I've learned that the hard way. It's like, you weren't ready for that much power.
Right.
You used it recklessly. Like,
yeah.
You know what I
totally.
Mean? Like, they are useful, helpful.
Right.
But then if you think about it, it's like, why are you going to use money that you don't have? That is setting you up for failure. If you don't have fucking money, then you need to learn how to get money first before you can learn how to fucking have a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And the way they get you is like, they raise the limit every 6 months.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what? You've been paying your bills on time.
You've been paying $20 a month.
Here's an extra $2,000. Here's an extra $2,000.
$2,000. You could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun with it.
Credit cards, you know? Or like a no-no, dude. Like,
I really love spending my money in places where I can like help other people now. You know, like letting you borrow money. I'm so grateful that I have enough money to let that happen. I talked about that in a lot on a recent podcast. You know, having the money to buy Eric his favorite beer.
Thank God, too, because I needed it today.
Just because I know how
right Modern now, fans? Yeah. So, real man right there. Knows how to treat a woman.
Currently, that's how I justify spending my money places. Like, when I go out, you know, when we go out, all of us bowling the other night, Regents the other night.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where I want to spend my money, like where the quality time is, because that's what I value now. I don't ever really buy anything for me, like, you know, accessory-wise.
Yeah, because
I don't want that. Like, that's
I don't buy shit for myself anymore.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's a really good way to put it.
Now I want to talk about what we value.
I value self-improvement. Every week I ask myself, you know, the things I'm going to do, or, you know, the things I've done in this past week. Just not like writing it down or something, just kind of having a general vibe about it. You know, the things that I've done or things I've not done in my life. And am I working towards achieving them, my bucket list and the kind of goals that I have set for myself? Because my vision is, you know, I grew up looking up to people like Steve Jobs and, you know, other people in my family who were really successful businessmen and in business and created products or created services that revolutionized the way, you know, we live. And I think that is way more important for me to do. That's a very selfless thing for me to do, rather than just thinking about, you know, getting, you know, having good relationships or, you know, waking up on time or, you know, spending this money here and that. I believe, like, if I have a clear purpose towards I'm working towards, everything falls into place.
Okay.
Everything becomes very easy when I have a goal in my mind. Because, you know, when you look at somebody like Elon Musk, that guy is trying to solve problems so big. You know, traveling to the space, or you know, transportation between metropolitan cities really quickly, because of overpopulation, it's very tough. You know, if you want to go from downtown LA to downtown SF, you know, it takes a shit ton of time, especially just escaping the downtown area. That guy is solving problems on such a big scale, and it just fascinates me. You know, that this guy is doing so much with his life, he's not complaining and he's taking fucking action every day.
Okay.
And what am I doing here? I'm fucking complaining about, you know, Kim Kardashian or this thing or that thing, or watching Instagram and just, you know, talking shit about some other person or something.
Right. Elon's not doing that.
Elon's not doing that. And that just makes me feel like a piece of shit and go align myself to my goals and ask myself what I'm doing is good or not. And self-discipline, all the good habits start kicking in. You know, like taking cold showers, meditating. I try to limit myself, you know, like the external stimulation that I provide to my brain. May that be, you know, a few controversial topics, maybe cigarette smoking, alcohol, weed, drugs, you know, although I've never done any drugs, but just, you know, so kind of like avoiding these stimulations, because when you have your goals, that is the biggest stimulant that you can get. Like, it might be even stronger than cocaine. I've never done it, but I believe it would be, because when you have that fire in you that you have to achieve something and like you have the plan laid out, it's a fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I value, you know, and it raises my consciousness, the way I operate, my operating system. You start to see your own bullshit. Basically,
yeah.
You really start to see your own bullshit, and you can catch on to that, and it's just another feeling. It's like
that in itself is a game.
Sometimes when I play video games, I can play 12 hours sitting and until my body goes numb and like I haven't eaten for 12 hours, and like, you know, it's that made me question, what the fuck is so interesting about this video game that I want to sit here for 12 hours, but then when I go to my, you know, making my mobile app or like coding for a website, I can't even sit through for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, maximum I can sit through is like 3 hours.
Okay.
So what's the difference? And then I started trying to see all these patterns and trying to incorporate that into my daily life, trying to make my life a game. So one of the things I started seeing with addiction was that, or you know, anything of a habit, is ease of access. So if I can make getting to my coding stuff really easy, if I
yes.
can have it on a desktop already,
yep.
so when I turn it on, it's already there. I don't have to go through extra steps to get to it. So it's like, might as well just write down one line of a code, or might as well, you know, write down one function, it's going to take me 10 minutes. So it makes it very easy and it builds a lot of momentum. These are a few things that I've been trying to incorporate from video games into my life and just making it more and more fun and giving myself objectives.
I like that.
And
that's great.
I do the same thing, honestly, in terms of like
mm-hmm.
making your life feel like a fucking video game.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I fucking feel when I DoorDash, bro. Like I set a goal
mm-hmm.
and it's like, ding, 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 ding.
You run
over
people?
Yeah, that, yeah, bro. 10 points. Not for real, though. That's good.
The thing is, like, people see daily chores or, like, some things that, like, with such a negative connotation. But my main question is, why do you see it as a negative connotation? Just because society sees it as a negative connotation.
Right.
Do you want to be, like, the 99% of the people? For me, it's no. I want to be like 0.1% of people. And how do 0.1% of people think about it? How do they see it? Elon Musk doesn't think about working 100 hours a week painful.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks of it as pleasure.
Right.
So if you can't see working as a pleasure, then you won't be able to work that long. Yeah. And I don't even feel like it's work, honestly, because through media or so, you know, movies and stuff, work has gotten this negative connotation that, oh yeah, I've got to go to work, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's something that you have to do even you don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how work should be. I believe, for me, it's like work is a religion to me, and you know, religion is something
you have at all times.
You have it all times. It's the biggest thing of your life.
Right. Okay.
So,
and
for me,
purpose.
It's like purpose. Yeah. And just going about that, like, I spend the most amount of money on self-improvement, I believe. Like, the most amount of money goes up to me is, like, getting this thing or that thing, like, this coaching or, like, trying to buy this course and just improving myself. And, you know, even in coding, like, I keep on buying some courses or try to apply for a lot of scholarships so that I can, you know, take courses and improve myself and, you know, learn more and more and just so that I can improve a lot more, because that is one of the things that I've seen with a lot of friends that I look up to who are way more successful than me. It's like they're constantly learning, and the more you are invested in learning, the biggest investment you can make is in yourself. So the more invested you are in learning and improving, the better you're going to be tomorrow.
After having this conversation with you guys, I guess for me recently my biggest value has been humor. And it's funny because I didn't really think about it that way until we started talking about it. But I guess not taking life so seriously recently has
yeah.
been a big one. It's like, you know, joking around, but like in a brotherly type of way. Not joking around to get under your guys' skin to piss you guys off. Because
yeah,
one of my biggest concerns is like coming off as annoying. I hate coming off as annoying. So like humor, understanding that things are temporary. You know, the ups and downs are always gonna happen. You know, you're gonna have those bad days, but I mean, as long as you tackle it with a good attitude and are able to laugh about it at the end of the day or joke around
mm-hmm.
and have a good time, it's like things come and go. So for me, I think humor and that joy of making people laugh. Like, I really like making people laugh.
And you make
Same.
Us laugh.
Same.
I put
Same.
The vlog out, Rolling with the Bros, vlog 6.
dude, I genuinely enjoy making people laugh, and you can hate my guts after I walk away, but as long as I made you laugh and it was a genuine laugh, like, fine, fuck it. But
yeah,
but yeah, man, the for me, right, that's one of my biggest things right now. That's one of my values, is
I love
being
that
able
that's
to
one
be
of your values, bro, like, because I love laughing. Oh my God, also not
yeah.
to be
serious. Yeah,
yeah,
humor all the way. Like, there's nothing better in life.
Especially when there's people around you that, like, get your humor.
Right.
That's rare. Because, I mean, I would never be the type to go up in front of an audience and, you know, perform stand-up or anything like that. It's
yeah.
it's I'm only humorous when there's people around me that get my humor, and you guys all get my humor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's good, you know, and that's what keeps me going, you know. But yeah, that's mine right now.
Awesome.
It's an acquired taste, though.
You can roast it on the most.
Oh shit.
Sorry.
Oh shit.
What I value is my freaking time. Like, I like being able to do, like, if I mean, for me personally, I like doing a lot of activities alone, just because I don't like sharing a lot of my time, because I feel like if I share personal experience or something, like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to intake that full experience to the fullest, you know. And I like to, like, put myself in a position where I get to create the experience for myself and create the bar that I set for something I experience, whether it be going to the movies or like going to a show. Like, yeah, that's why, like, I don't like going to shows with like a group or anything. Like, I always love going to with myself, because then I decide the path that I take.
I feel that.
Yeah, you know, like, I decide how that day goes. Pretty much, it's like, like when I play video games, like I said, I like playing like only like one player games. I want to be able to guide where my story is gonna take me on my own and make my own decisions with how well I'm gonna, you know, go throughout that video game without somebody else getting in the way, essentially.
I respect,
like,
that.
So I value my time like a lot. So I remember when like being in a relationship, like I hated it, bro, because like I felt like I didn't go to the gyms often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had to share a lot of my time with somebody else, and I really didn't like that. So I think my time is super valuable, and I always try to optimize it.
I want to go back to what you said about going to concerts alone and like,
yeah,
playing one player games. It's like,
mm-hmm,
I think that's so cool, like, that you could,
fuck yeah,
live in your own world and,
yeah,
have like such a kick ass time. And I've seen you, like, on the dance floor, enjoying the heck out of yourself, and I'm like,
yeah, man.
I don't think I could ever do that. Like, I have a video of you, like, shuffling to some EDM music, and I'm like, I got a kick out of it, recording it, but I'm like, this guy is, like, on another level, like,
living my best motherfucking life,
like,
bitches, yeah.
To pull in what you said earlier about how you're a people pleaser, and to hear you now talking about how you love just being with yourself. It's like, maybe that's where you're meant to be all along.
Hell yeah, I'll marry myself.
Like, there you go.
Yeah, no, dude, I really respect the whole self-awareness around knowing that you're okay with being with yourself and
yeah,
doing things on your own, because I feel the same way. Like, I went to Seattle and Portland for like a week, and half the time I was in Seattle, half the time I was in Portland by myself. Two cities I've never been at, navigated it, whatever, went out, met cool people.
And you went to, like, one of the strip clubs over there, right? Like, yeah, it's like one of the first things.
We're not going
to
get into that, but...
Sorry, you told me about
But there's, for me, there's, like, almost this vulnerability. I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, there's a vulnerability of, like, shit, how am I going to roll with the punches? You got no one else who's going to fucking judge you.
Yeah.
You're the only one. These other people,
like,
they don't know you. These people at the concert. Mm-hmm. These people at the concert, these people at the movies, they don't know you. Who cares, you know? So
exactly.
There's, and at the same time, it's like, if you rely on other people to always go with you, and you're that type of person that always needs to have the comfort of, you know, people around you, it's like, if someone backs out, if someone flakes out on you, what, you're not going to go now? You're going to miss out an opportunity to see, you know, your favorite band? You're
going
to miss out an opportunity
to
travel?
Go
by yourself.
Have some fucking fun, you know?
Because I know people that are like, oh, shit, dude, hey, someone back there, could you
go
with me?
I'm going by myself. Like, no, fucking
yeah,
go by yourself. It's awesome.
It's a good experience. I think everybody should,
you know what I
mean, at least do one thing that they're afraid of by themselves, or, you know, something they've never done before by themselves, or something they genuinely like, you know, by themselves.
Yeah.
Just to not be constrained by other people and to be able to, you know, do stuff that they like, yeah.
Fuck
right.
Yeah. So
building an identity of their own.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So just as a claim, if I don't invite you to something, don't worry about it. Just,
And that's a good point. No, and that's a good...
And be happy for me that I'm fucking having a good time.
That's a good point.
Myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I mean...
I'm impressed all the way.
Yeah.
Again, like, because personally, if I were to go out to place, I love meeting strangers and doing all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
but like how outgoing you are when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
I can't get to that level because I always am thinking about what strangers are thinking about.
Yeah,
man.
It's just like, why am I Why do I think that?
You'd be surprised, bro. Whenever we go to the club or whatever, like, girls ask me, like, who'd you come with? I'm like, oh, by myself. I'm like, you're by yourself? I'm like, yeah. I'm just like,
let me tell you why. Do we got time? Like,
honestly.
Let me tell you why you should go. Because you never know who you're going to meet.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
Right, and you don't want to be thinking about your friend at the bar by themselves while you just met and clicked with someone.
Bro, cool. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Hey, you just drove your buddy to the bar, and now you just met these cool-ass people who want to keep going out with you.
Now,
but your buddy's got work tomorrow morning. Now you got to drive your buddy home.
Now, that is something I do experience, and at those moments, I wish I just came by myself, but it's like...
Yeah,
I think from this point on, I'm gonna be thinking about that.
More adventurous, man. Life is so much more adventurous by yourself.
Something I value is perseverance, persisting through the pain when times get tough. You know, I personally believe that we all have something worth fighting for. I hate excuses. I'm really starting to dislike distractions. I wake up early. I go to the gym consistently now because I haven't been doing that a lot in the past. I've realized a lot of us, including myself, simply forget to do the fundamental work that's required in life. Things like waking up early, eating right, working out consistently, organizing your time. People don't really understand how important those basics are, and they're left wondering why they aren't getting any better in their work-life balance, in their mood, in their relationships, or if you're a student in your school performance. I think it's important to understand that you can't just do the basics once and expect your life to be great after that. Like, you can't wake up early once and then call it a day. You've got to wake up early every day to set yourself up for success, because the odds are, whatever your ambitions are right now, you're going to enjoy having more time to get that work done if you wake up early. You're just going to have more time if you wake up early. I value perseverance because the reality is that the fundamentals take a lot of work, and nobody is here to remind you. Like, you don't have your parents anymore when you're an adult. Like, no one's gonna tell you to wake up and get ready for school and stuff like that. I try to center myself around pushing through obstacles in my life, like the smaller big ones, like choosing to brush my teeth before bed. That's a small obstacle. And then bigger obstacles, choosing to eat right, working out in life, deciding what career path is best for me. And tackling these obstacles dead on, instead of procrastinating and waiting to figure yourself out, I see myself getting something out of life by just tackling those problems dead on. And I mean, I think it's pretty damn worth it. That's the end of the podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, AK, David, and Eric, for being here tonight. Just to recap, we talked about bad habits, overcoming them, finding out that it's an ease of access that's really causing us to continue these bad habits. We talked about our impulsive decisions, maxing out credit cards, spending money we don't have, and we also talked about what we valued: personal development, our time, perseverance, and humor. Again, if you got something from this, guys, please shoot us a comment below. We'd love to know how you relate to the conversation that we talked about tonight. I look forward to next Tuesday's podcast, and until then, have a great week.